T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And there's a drive, belted deep right. That's headed for the chop house. A first pitch homer for Markakis, his first of the year.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I called him earlier, just smooth as butter.
Yeah.
Nick Markakis. You need a double? Just
that swing, man, when he's on. That was great. That
Braves
was great.
Get the win last night. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We're going to talk a little Braves before we get back to the Masters talk.
And we're only going to the top of the hour. Remind everybody we're done. We're done top of the. But why we're done at the top?
Well, because the bad weather, and they moved up the Masters, and they're going to have threesomes going on out there. They don't normally do that. We're watching them right now. These guys are out there practicing, and the weather is causing issues all throughout our neighboring states. There were some deaths in Mississippi. It is just knocking trees down Alabama. We're looking at footage of it. By the way, let's mention this again. We have got not only a situation on I-20 westbound out by Six Flags. If you're heading toward Alabama for whatever reason, you might want to check your GPS and see if it's opened, because there was an overturned tractor trailer and it was a fiery mess out there, and they closed down the interstate. Wouldn't let you get past Six Flags. And we have ongoing tornado watches for about, 50 counties?
Yep. And for our area, up until about 2 o'clock, I think, this afternoon, before it all is supposed to get through. And then that's when it's headed for Augusta. And that is why they're teeing off now, playing the final round of the Masters.
So, there you go.
And hopefully this all gets out of the way in time for the Braves to be able to play tonight. They got the Mets tonight. So, hopefully this all blows out. And we got a pretty good pitchers duel for the game tonight.
You know, when you talk about Wimbledon or the French Open, like, you love talking tennis, and there's always that accompanying meal that goes with breakfast at Wimbledon.
Yes.
Or strawberries and cream, things like that, right? Yes. You can't do this with the Masters. You can't wake up and have a pimento sandwich.
No pimento.
You can't do that.
But you know what you can get on a day like today down there, if you got a press credential?
What's that?
You can get into the grill. And I'm not talking about in the media building. You get into the grill, and you go into the grill, and you get a nice bowl of, like, clam chowder on a day like today.
It's 7 in the morning?
Just a cold, it's going to be like a cold kind of
day. Yeah, it is, but that's good
day
for, like, noon, but I can't wake up eating clam. I love some clam chowder.
You get you a cup of coffee right now. You're just getting started.
I thought you were going to talk about some kind of Krispy Kreme donut or some kind of breakfast something.
No, Krispy Kreme, that's down the block. When you get off the exit right there, the
instant okay,
Krispy
well,
Kreme.
Thank you.
Krispy Kreme's right there on the right. And I'm sure the sign has been on nonstop all week. Hell, Augusta.
Anyway, let's get back to Nick Markakis and what he's looking like.
Along with the Hooters with John Daly in the parking lot. That's also on the way to the golf course when you get off the exit. And Washington Road. See, if you got off Washington Road exit, go on I-20, you get off the Krispy Kreme's right there on the right, then the Hooters comes up in the next block, and John Daly's hanging out there. He'll just talk to you, whatever. He's there every year.
Okay. Normally it's me the one making people hit the dump button, but I like it today. It's you.
So no, man. He's there hanging out.
Now I lost my train of thought.
No, I didn't mean for you to do that.
Nick Markakis.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. Braves getting the win.
Playing Rod Carew, like, when you need a double, it seems like he comes up with one.
Mm-hmm.
And just as steady as can be.
How about Josh Donaldson, too?
Yep.
That was big. I mean, people were wondering how he's going to pay off in this lineup, what his contributions are going to be. I got his first Brave homer last night, and that's big. That's really big, just to see the top half of this order all got two hits when you think about it. So, man, that's great production. They got the runs early. And, you know, you want to see that, especially when we talk about some of our young pitchers are starting. You want to see that. And Tuki Toussaint, I got the call up from Gwinnett, came over and delivered a great performance. So we want to see if Julio Teheran can do something great. He's at home. He usually pitches his best at home. And then Jacob DeGrom, well, you know what you're getting with him. Mm-hmm. That's tonight, 7:05. We are the primetime game once again. So once all the bad weather rolls through and everything, Braves play tonight against the Mets.
What do you need to see to give you reason to feel good about the sustainability of this team moving forward? You know, they snuck up on a lot of people last year. They were ahead of schedule as far as production and what they were going to be. And now people are expecting them to possibly win this division. But then there's, you know, you talk to some other folks and they say there's like 3-4 teams that could win this division.
Possibly.
When you look at it. So let's go back a few series and what we thought we were seeing when these guys dropped 3 from the Phillies. Then they came back and swept the Cubs. Took the first one from the Marlins. So they seem to have righted the ship and then went out to Colorado. Went out to Colorado and took care of business, even though they got out of there early. But yet come back and the Mets do what they do to them. So as I break this down, it's a sort of seesaw situation right now. So what the goodness that we feel right now as they played yesterday against the Mets and they go at it again tonight, if they get that game in. I don't know what feeling to have, I guess is what I'm
right
saying.
Right now, it seems like the division opponents are – and that's what, you know, rightfully so. The division teams are going to slide it up a notch when they play these guys. And I think that's what we saw. I think was who we saw the first week in Philadelphia. That's what we saw at the Mets. They know if they're going to win the division, they got to come through Atlanta, and they have this team, and they want to put it in their minds early in the season. Hey, we know who you guys were. You know what you did last year, and we're bringing you your best early in the season. I think that was a message. It's early in the season to be sending messages, but the Philadelphia series I think was clearly an attempt to do that, and it's clearly what's happened with this Mets team. Although the Mets are going to do what they always do, the wheel will fall off, but before Labor Day. They're looking good now, but before Labor Day, the wheels – well, not Labor Day, Memorial Day, the wheels will fall off of them.
You got to like what you saw for about Toussaint last night, too. You got 6 innings in, just one earned run.
Once again, one of the young arms that is very capable. You just want to see him level it out and turn in that kind of performance on a consistent basis. You go back and give you 6 innings like that, get 2-3 consecutive starts like that to give them that kind of confidence. That's what you want to see from a pitcher like Tukey Toussaint.
Yes or no, Bo? Did they move the pitching rotation around a little bit because you got Teron tonight? This is a Sunday night baseball kind of game tonight.
Yeah,
is it?
Well, we were looking for Fulton Evich. We were looking for Fulton Evich.
He was scheduled to come back tonight,
and so it seemed like we pushed him back.
Probably weather wise.
You know, so that was the thing. We were looking for him to show up this weekend.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
Bo was saying that because of the blizzard game in Colorado, everything got discombobulated, as I like to say.
Yeah.
But, man, this is Teron and DeGrom tonight?
Yeah.
They should put that thing on primetime.
That could be good stuff. It is.
I mean, is it the main?
It's the primetime game. Yeah, the nighttime game on Sunday night is.
So I'm not even thinking about it. I'm so red shirt focused.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it just, you know, everything else takes a backseat.
Nighttime game on Sunday night. Just like with the NFL.
We've seen two before, though, on Sunday night.
Seldom, though.
But we've seen it, so I'm not completely crazy.
Very seldom. Very seldom.
It's a West Coast game usually. That's playing, but not necessarily the prime time ESPN game.
It may be a backup in case you get rain on the East Coast. You know what I mean? They may have a West Coast game scheduled that they can still have it on. Because there's nothing worse than having that one game and then it rains.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think I know that there's usually another one someplace.
There's nothing worse than that. But we're that game tonight.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Mark Simon. We're going to talk more baseball, so I want to get back to that. I mentioned something yesterday, and I want to clean this up. We were talking about the whole craziness that's going on with the Lakers and Magic Johnson, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole again, but I gave an opinion about what I wouldn't be surprised if it were to happen with Jeannie Buss putting this team up for sale. And one of the only family-run teams that are solely their sole revenue comes from that team. And then I got to thinking about, okay, well, that's just part of it. But then also, I started thinking about the kids of some of these owners who have taken over teams. And there's 3 that come to mind. And where does the Lakers fall in that? You got the Steinbrenners who took over after George of the Yankees. You got Mark Davis who took over after Al with the Raiders. And then you got now Jeannie Buss who eventually pushed her brother out, who really is the catalyst for all of this, because that's why Magic was brought in, because he was such a train wreck at basketball operations. But those other two organizations, they got other revenue streams. They got other stuff going on. If they screw up the Raiders or they screw up the Yankees, we ain't got to have a GoFundMe for the Steinbrenners or the Davises.
I don't think you need to have one for Virginia Buss.
I don't know, but my what I'm getting at there, though, is it just seems like she's on an island by herself running that organization, doing it with duct tape and little copper wire here, because she can't get she just can't seem to get a break as far as getting this team righted since her father died. He died 6 years ago, and that was the last time they made the playoffs, man.
Yeah.
Now, you can argue about, did Magic bring LeBron out there? And you could also argue that LeBron—
or was LeBron coming anyway?
Exactly. He was coming anyway.
Well, the fact, like we said yesterday, the fact that it happens under Magic's watch allows him to say, well, they're a better team now than they were before he came on board. And they are. They are a better team now.
Okay. You put him on there. Now— every team that's gotten him a championship had other great players around him. Every team that wins a championship now has great players around them. You have to have that.
Right.
Last team that didn't have that was what? 05 Pistons. They had a bunch of they had a handful of great players, but not superstars.
Not a superstar. They had a great team, great five guys had to go out and perform every night because there wasn't a 35-point guy on that team. So, yeah, you had five guys who had to go out and do what they did consistently.
You got to have some superstars now. And now the question is, and I'm not the only one that's brought this up, you aren't the only one either. Who wants to come play with LeBron? We've been hearing—
we're going to find out real soon.
Well, all right.
We're going to find out in a few weeks.
If it's not KD, he's going on east.
Okay.
And we got into a conversation beforehand because we talked about Trae Young and what this young Hawks team could be, and they would attract some free agents. Well, if that's the case, then I see the Greek Freak, when his contract ends, he's staying on the east side of the Mississippi,
okay. Maybe
wanting to play with a point guard like Trae.
They're going to keep him in Milwaukee.
Coach Bud would love that.
The way things are doing.
But these players are running the show, man. You know that.
It's his show up there.
Again.
Right.
Well, that was— we can talk about a number of players who had the show going on. Kevin Durant had the show in Oklahoma City. He still felt the need to get up and leave. Okay? And he didn't have to.
No, he didn't have to. And that's the problem a whole lot of folks still got with him.
So I'm wondering.
But we're thinking after this year, he's going to be out and he's going to be heading to New York.
Okay, so if Anthony Davis were to go to L.A., to the Lakers.
That's what we think may happen.
Okay. Is that still enough?
We don't know.
I don't think so.
But it'll make the playoffs. It'll be a step in the right direction. And I'm not saying it's going to be enough to win the championship. You got to make it competitive and get the right mix. You still got to get another piece or two to go in there. And the thing of it is, who are you giving up? Who on that current squad now are you going to say, you know what, we got some value with this guy, let's ship him? Because you're mortgaging the future of that Lakers team for something that's going to happen 2-3 years. How long LeBron going to play out there?
He only got 3 more years left.
You know what I mean?
And here's the other thing.
It's going to be short-term, whatever it is. You boxed yourself into a short-term, to me, situation. And it's urgent. You got to make it happen fast. This is a tight window.
Well,
so that's the thing. You don't have a whole lot of time to draft people and to bring forth. You got to make do with the best what you have and then see what you can pull in this offseason and get it moving.
They don't have right now is an architect to build that team. That's the bigger point I was trying to make. And the guy who did it and has done it is sitting right next door.
Yeah.
And that's Jerry West.
Yeah.
And he's the only all-time player who's been successful at the executive level that I can think of.
Yeah.
And it's because, and we were talking about his, you know, the depression he suffers and his singleness, his single focusness.
Well, they won a championship because we mentioned Larry Bird has had some success. Indiana,
but not like Jerry West.
Not like that.
Anyway, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more baseball with Mark Simon. Up next, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Georgia. Sam and Greg, as we sit here and try to figure out what type of gum is Tiger chewing.
You know,
he's chewing
a lot
more gum.
Serious, man. He is, and we're not sure what kind it is, what not, but soon he—
I'm going to say Wrigley's.
Wrigley's?
Yeah.
You would say that.
That's right, I would. It's the most famous gum in America, and they got a pretty good ballpark.
Yeah. You know what? That's going to be interesting to find out what kind of jug, what kind of gummy is.
Ain't no Bubblicious.
No,
it's not. I know it ain't that because we ain't seen any bubbles.
No bubbles, no bubbles. But it's, you know, it's been great. It's been great to see him work.
We have a guest online here who's probably got an opinion about that, but you might want to bring him on. We're going to be talking about something else.
We are going to talk some baseball.
You got Mark sitting here, right?
Hey, it's our first time joining us, folks. We've been trying to get this guy on for several weeks in this baseball season. Great to have him on because of what he's done with covering the sport of baseball. Joining us now on the waitforit.com hotline, Mark Simon is joining us from Sports Info Solutions. Good morning, Mark.
Morning.
Hi, guys. My guess would be Big League Chew, since I got to talk baseball here.
Big League Chew?
No, I love a pack of some Big League Chew, so
yeah,
I'll shred it up.
Yeah,
like,
that was good.
The flavor don't stay long.
like 30 seconds.
Yeah, man, it is done.
Folks, Mark, you know, comes to us, really referred to us by another friend of the show, Russell Baxter. And, Mark, your background in baseball is something that's pretty impressive. I mean, you was ESPN Stats for Baseball Tonight, and everybody who follows the game is very familiar with that show. Before we get into talk about that, talk about working for a show like that and the things you would do, you and your crew of people around you, to get prepared, because we hear all kind of info and all kind of stats that fly at us on a show like that.
Well, the statistical evolution in baseball has really taken off in the last couple of decades. And, boy, I missed Baseball Tonight when it was on 7 days a week on ESPN. It's on Sunday nights now. What we would do is we were kind of the brains behind the show. If you heard Carl Ravitch or John Kroc or Aaron Boone or any of the other people that were talking on the show, and they said a statistic or a piece of information where you went, whoa, where'd that come from? That usually came from someone like me. It was a fun job. They're all very interesting personalities. They're all fun to work with. And I think that that show played a large role in enhancing the baseball statistical information community because we did a lot of things both with your traditional historical kind of stuff. This guy did this for the first time in 75 years, and also the analytics stuff and the way that the sport has progressed in that regard.
All right, well, we don't use as many numbers as you do here on this morning show, this barbershop morning show that we do here. We're just talking. But from a baseball standpoint, you just using your eyeballs, let's talk about our team here in Atlanta and this Braves team that were called the Baby Braves last year, and they go into this season with a lot of expectations. In fact, this National League East, you could pick two or three teams that could win it. Your thoughts on this team and compared to what you think we're going to see this year compared to last year?
I think there's going to be a little bit of a decline because it kind of felt like while everyone in the National League East, other than the Marlins, among the Phillies and the Mets, Phillies and the Mets got a lot better. Braves kind of stood in place a little bit. The Nationals dropped because they lost Bryce, but they did other things to kind of adjust to that. And I think what you're seeing with the Braves right now, the starting pitching, that there was probably a need for Dallas Keuchel's still out there. You could certainly get him. But there was certainly a need for another starting pitcher. You've seen how Kyle Wright has struggled in his first couple of appearances. And there were concerns about some of the other guys, too. Even though Julio's been pretty good over the years, I think there were a lot of concerns about him. And the Braves, as I said, kind of stood in place. They had a lot of things that they like, certainly. And they got Josh Donaldson. So it wasn't a complete stand-in place. There were probably a couple other things that they could have done that they did not do, or have not done, at least not yet. But through 14 games, I don't know that you can complain. 8-6 is I think I would say, perfectly all right.
Hey, you mentioned pitching, and I'm before Sam jumps in here, what did oh, no, his name just left me again.
Kimbrel?
Craig Kimbrel. Why is he still sitting out there, and how did this happen, that he didn't sign on with the team earlier?
So I think he overvalued himself a little bit. If you look at the way his season ended, he didn't pitch particularly well in the postseason. And I think a lot of teams are nervous about a closer who walks or who has the potential to walk 5 guys per 9 innings. Because, quite frankly, those guys are almost unwatchable. If you're a fan, B, if you're a manager. So I think it's a combination of those factors. I'm a little surprised that he hasn't gotten signed yet. Yes, he rocks with the saves, but I think there's a feeling that at age 31, he doesn't have a lot of shelf life left, and that in a year or two, he's going to fade off, as a lot of players do. So that's why I think he hasn't signed.
Spending some time this morning on the WaitForIt.com hotline with Mark Simon. You can follow him on Twitter. Yes, he is on Twitter at Mark A. Simon Says. Mark A. Simon Says.
Makes sense.
It makes perfectly good sense. The Mets are here in town, Mark, and we saw them get off to a great start last year. What makes you think the wheels won't fall off by Memorial Day like it did last year with them?
Well, you sound like someone who's talking on behalf of all Mets fans nationwide. A couple of things that have looked really good so far that would make you think that things are going to be a little bit better. Pete Alonso has come up, as you saw on Friday night when he hit the 400-whatever-foot home run he hit. There is an expectation that he is going to be a superstar immediately, and he has shown that in every regard. Wilson Ramos helped shore up the catching position. He's gotten off to a pretty decent start. And when you can throw healthy DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, you should feel pretty good about what you've got. You saw what Wheeler did Friday, and you're going to see what DeGrom can do today. They have a little work to do, as you saw last night when Jason Vargas starts. It's pretty ugly, and they have to fix that. They have a guy at the end of the game that can close, too. They feel they're pretty good, 7, 8, 9. They think that they're deeper and that they're better than last season. I guess my comment on that is we'll see.
Mark, I want to see this Braves team obviously do well. I want them to succeed. I want them to bring home hardware at the end of the year. I live here in Atlanta. But you never forget your first. And for me, that's the Cubs. And from 2015, where they were just right there at it, they won in 2016, and you thought this is going to be sustainable for a while. But this offseason, I'm hearing things that Theo Epstein has given these guys a short window, and they better get it done. And that includes Joe Maddon. What's going to happen in your mind with this Cubs team moving forward?
So in the statistical community, there were expectations that this is going to be a struggle for the Cubs this season. I think it was Baseball Prospectus actually picked them to finish last in the Central. I was not that pessimistic. I think they labeled them as a playoff team. I think they still have a lot of good pieces in place, although I wonder if Chris Bryant is fully healthy. He only has one home run in 52 at-bats so far. He's hitting in the 230s. I think they have a strong starting rotation. If Ian Darvish is right, which he hasn't been so far, I'm probably more positive on them than most. There seems to be a lot of negativity around the Cubs these days. I think there are some concerns with the pitching, certainly. What's going to happen? Shoot, I said they're going to make the playoffs, so I got to stick with that, right? But they certainly haven't looked like anything resembling a playoff team so far.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline, talking baseball with Mark Simon joining us. You can follow him on Twitter once again at Mark A. Simon Says. We're delighted to have him. It's first time,
yeah,
I guess,
we are.
On weekend mornings.
Appreciate it, man.
Especially with his background with baseball tonight with ESPN. Two guys have landed big deals. Which one is going to have the biggest long-term impact, in your opinion, Bryce or Trout?
I think that Mike Trout is the better of the two. I think that there needs to be an appreciation, not just in the baseball community, but in the sports community as a whole. And they said baseball kind of needs a boost in that regard. Mike Trout's the best player you'll probably see in your lifetime. He does everything well, hit, run, field, throw, hit for power, you name it. He's Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron. He is the best of the best of the best of the best. You're seeing it so far this year. His on-base percentage is nearly 600, even though he's hurt right now. The only thing that can derail him is health. I'm convinced that Bryce Harper, with the 13-year contract, that there is something that's going to happen within that 13 years that is either going to cause him to hate Philadelphia, or Philadelphia to be a little unhappy about him, or that an injury is going to creep up and cause him problems. He's had a number of injuries so far. He plays when he decides to kind of go all out, he plays a very aggressive style, and it would not shock me if there was a point where he played more aggressive than his body allowed, and then he had a little issue somewhere along the way. Great player. Not disputing the quality of player there, but 13 years to me seems kind of way over the top. Whereas for Mike Trout's going to be a megastar. for the, I think, until the very, very end of his career.
Mark Simon, listen, this is the first of many visits. We're going to talk to you throughout the baseball season. We can't thank you enough for getting up and being with us this morning. And if you are any kind of a golf fan, give us your pick for the Masters today real quick before we leave.
Oh, my God. I am like the opposite of a golf fan. So okay. I'll say Tiger Woods because I will say this. I like a really good story, and it would be a great, great story.
Yes, it would.
If he won today. It would probably, unless the guy that was at 100-1 odds won today, Tiger Woods winning would probably be the best thing that could happen, I think, by far for golf.
All right, Mark. Well, listen, we appreciate it. We will be back in touch with you and get your thoughts as we get deeper into the baseball season. Thanks for getting up this morning, man.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, thanks, Mark. It's Sam and Greg. We are going to give you our final thoughts on Masters and the players and everything as we walk up to final round coverage, which you can hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That, of course, Tiger Woods getting ready for the final round. The Masters at Augusta, he is two shots behind.
Yeah.
And he will be teeing off just a little bit here. As a matter of fact, we should remind you that we are going to be done here in just under 20 minutes because they moved everything up, including the coverage. We got to step to exit stage left.
Yeah.
For Westwood One's coverage of the final round of the Masters, which you can hear right here starting at 9 a.m.
And they are already playing. We saw them come out early today. They were out there warming up with flashlights, with floodlights on out there
quake
in the dark. You know what I mean?
Minor helmets.
Yeah, before they could go out and play. And we saw how they bring people onto the course. Remember, the security guards walk in front of the people and you walk to your place only. You do not run.
Yeah, listen, get the other stuff out of the way because when we start going down this rabbit hole master stuff, we will not come back.
All right.
So I know you wanted to say something else.
We got some racing stuff, folks. No NASCAR today because they ran last night at Richmond, Virginia, and it was Martin Truex Jr. which was your winner in the D-shaped track there that they run. They only had 50,000 seats. The attendance looked like it was pretty good last night.
In the tri-oval?
It's a D-shape there at the fairgrounds there up in Richmond. No Cup Series race on Easter, so the next race will be at Talladega. And for those of you who are not paying attention, Talladega and the Braves have worked out a deal. For $80, you get a ticket for a turn 4 seat at Talladega and for one of a listing of Braves games. And to me, somebody's thinking. I mean, if you're from this part of the country or whatnot, you got a ticket for Talladega in a couple of weeks. You're going to have a pick of Braves games, and they got some good teams.
They got some Dodgers games on there.
Dodgers on there. The Tigers are on there. The Royals, the Nationals, the Phillies. I mean, you got some choices of some really good teams and a ticket to Talladega for $80. I think that's a pretty cool deal. Like I said, thinking outside of the box, we see more of that. Of course, Talladega, you want to go and see it. They spent a bunch of money for a fan zone over there that is supposed to be real entertaining. More things with NASCAR coming into the new era. So that's going to be on display a couple of weeks. Also, F1 is already run. Usually we watch it here, but it's already run.
I walk in here every Saturday and Sunday morning, and Sam gives me an update on a race that's going on in China or someplace over in Asia.
The Chinese Grand Prix ran this morning, and Lewis Hamilton was the winner of that in Formula One. That's today. That's a little racing for you.
Man. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Red Shirt Sunday, man. We getting out of here in a little bit. We already got our plans on the menu and what we're doing, where we're sitting at, and watching this and flipping around. One of the things that we had talked about before the show was the uniqueness for those who have been watching golf for a very long time. When CBS got their cable channel, up until that, you never saw the front nine.
Never saw the front nine.
That's how much control Augusta National has over network. You don't see that with any other venue.
They feel like you only need to see the back nine, of course, is live.
Yep.
And if somebody got hot, you know, they would send a camera out and just sit on the platform and they would record some of their round early, the early part.
You think
of their
people
rounds.
Knew that though?
People who really follow golf,
they
if
knew
you really
it.
Went out there, you could tell it. But the average person would say, why don't we see the first first nine holes?
Well, hey, we heard Tiger blew up in the first nine or so-and-so. By the way, we've gone this whole show, and you know who we haven't mentioned?
Who's that?
Mickelson.
Mickelson. He's there. He's on the board.
That's my point is, though, we haven't mentioned him.
No. You want
to
mention
him. It's all about – it just seems to be all about Tiger, and that puts people out on the ledge. Because you talk too much Tiger. Why are you always talking about Tiger?
Well, no, Mickelson shot a 67 first day, shot a 73 and a 70. He's at 500 par. So, I mean, he's hanging out with Bubba Watson at minus five.
That's, a two-time
that's,
winner.
That's where he is.
Well, I'm just saying.
He's in between two Georgia Bulldogs. He's in between Bubba Watson and Kevin Kisner, who is at 400. So, I mean, you got some people who got a little bit lower on the board. But, I mean, if you want to win this thing, just like Tiger said yesterday, you want to be in double digits. Mm-hmm. And he's in double digits, and that's why he's going to be playing in this final, not pairing, but final threesome today that's coming up. So, yeah.
So the point is that because of the uniqueness of this day weather-wise, a lot of people will pay attention to that first round that heretofore they have it. Hardcore golfers know about the CBS network, their cable network, and so they will watch in the past that front nine. But today's coverage – all eyes from top to bottom. There's going to be a whole lot of tired people by about 7 o'clock tonight. People getting up early. This is almost like the British Open kind of thing.
Well, they're hoping that everything is done by 3. We talked with Steve Hummer from the AJC who joined us last hour. We appreciate him doing that. He says they're ready to not even do the green jacket presentation outside. It just to do with the one in the Butler cabin for television. Usually do the one in Butler cabin for TV. Then they come outside and do one for all the spectators to watch. They're going to forego that just to get everybody off the course. They think they got some inclement weather, especially they think they got some thunder or lightning coming through. They want everybody off the course and out the gate.
I want to ask you a question. Because you have admitted on the air that you are a king speculator. Not speculator. You are a
conspiracy theorist.
Conspiracy theorist. Do you believe in the golf gods? In that phrase, you know, the golf gods will punish so-and-so. They did this, so where the golf gods made it even. We hear that all the time.
Oh, yeah. You hear that.
I'm going to reach for something.
Okay.
Because we're talking about the circle of life, that when Tiger won his first win in 97, he came off the course and fell into his father's arms bawling like a little kid. And given what he's gone through over the last few years, were he to win today, it would be in the arms of his kids. And you got to wonder if this is the beginning of something that has eluded him, and this is the reason why he's back out there. And it gets back to that piece I was talking about. He's playing for an audience of 2, which are his kids. Maybe 3 if you want to include him. But Ali, his kids got to see him do what he did. Jordan, his kids got to see him beat Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But of the 3 top American sports figures of the last 60 years, he's the only one, Tiger that is, whose kids didn't get a chance to see him be Tiger. And I'm asking you, as we reach and we sit here in this barbershop conversation, is that the punishment of the golf gods for what he did and what, you know, all his transgressions and so on and so forth? The fact that, you know, A, he had them late in life, too. That was the other thing.
Yeah.
But his kids, I mean, we all hope to see that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're never going to see him as Tiger Woods.
You know, I don't want to go in and see it as a punishment, but we got to see, like you said earlier, we saw the warts. And we got to see him be human. And that was
his kids didn't.
Yeah,
his kids never got to see him be that name.
They saw him be human because that's what they only knew, and he couldn't even go out in the backyard and play with them. They saw that.
Jordan's kids got to see Michael Jordan fly and win 3 championships.
Yeah, but I'm saying they got to see the human side of him. Now they get to see this side of him. They've seen Dad could barely get out of bed and whatnot. They saw that. But to see him do what he has to do today, it's going to be a first time for them.
Yeah.
So that's the one other reason for us to root for him today.
Mufasa came to mind. I don't know why. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up in a minute with a last casting call and a shout-out to somebody that is near and dear to all of us here in Atlanta. Up next, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.